Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim wa sallallahu ala an-nabiy al-ummi. Subhanaka la ilma lana illa ma 'allamtana innaka antal 'alimul hakim. Rabbi shrah li sadri wa yassir li amri wahlul 'uqdatam min lisani yafqahu qawli. Rabbi hab li hukma wal hiqni bis salihin waj'al li lisana sidqin fil akhirin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We welcome you to the segment Ad-Durratul Farda Sharhu Qasidatil Burda, the exclusive pearl detailing the stanzas of Qasida Burda. How many lessons we've learned till now, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, we ourselves to teach. One of the benefits of teaching is you yourself become anchored in what you teach. So actually, a teacher is just a higher class or a higher level student. Because in order to teach, you have to know that subject well. And the more that you teach, the more you become familiar with the subject that you teach. So it actually means you are upping your skills in that particular field and that particular skill which you are teaching. And this is what they speak about today when they're speaking about empowering people. They use terms, we become fascinated with those terms because we haven't heard those terms before. But if you go into the meaning of those terms, you found this in the life of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam way before. That's why we always tell you, if you go to this book, History of the Turks, and Lamata, and he writes there, if three things, if you have to see and witness, and you have to come to the conclusion that so and so is an intelligent person, then he says three things will be the criteria. One is smallness of means. Number two, dedication. Number three, greatness in results. These are the three things. Number one, smallness of means, meaning simple life, not having a lot of resources, but simply dedicated to the cause. And together with this, the results are high. Because why? If you just go to that first point, simple means, lack of resources, simple lifestyle. Because then this gives that hope as well to those who are what they call less advantaged. Less advantaged. But Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam came as a mercy, not for the rich, not for the poor, not for just human beings, but for the entire universe. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you but as a mercy to the entire universe. Time not mentioned, race not mentioned, people not mentioned. Because Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a mercy to the entire universe. Go and see Suratul Anbiya, chapter 21. And then look at this verse. And take all the other prophets mentioned in that particular surah and see how many verses for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam this verse is sufficient. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. Sent as a mercy, sent to empower, even if you don't have mansions, if you do not have those fancy cars, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a mercy for you too. You can empower yourself by saving yourself from the fire of Jahannam and from the heat on the day of Yawmul Qiyamah. You stand the chance. You are a candidate. You are candid enough. We use their terms because for them to be candid or candidate, you have to have that sufficient status. You have to have that kind of car, you've got to have that kind of position in society, respect the rest. Whereas Islam teaches you that you could be a dusty person that nobody knows of you, but what you're saying here on the land, Allah Azza wa Jal is accepting in the heavens. This is the kind of Islam that we have, empowering all, but you must show dedication to it. Isn't it strange today that the Jews, they are jealous of you Muslims, but you Muslims, we Muslims, we love to embrace their lifestyle. To the point, I shared it with you the other day, you had Trump sitting last week, it was Trump, and you had Erdogan. They were sitting together having bilateral conversations. And what happened? So I took off the heads. Downwards, and if you included the heads also, but we take off the heads. Downwards, you look at the tie, you look at the shirt, you look at the jacket, you look at the pants, you look at the shoes, exactly the same. Even to the point where their badge is on their jacket, that is also exactly the same. Can you notice any differences? I've got it on my phone. There's no differences. And they are having conversations of improving their relations. So on the one side, you have Erdogan sitting with Trump and having these marvelous conversations of what is happening in the Middle East. You have Qatar, which is a small country, but has one of the largest US military bases in their country. This all was discovered now when, it came out in the open, when what happened? Iran sent in those missiles and they said, we're going to bomb Qatar, and not Qatar in itself, but we're going to send it on those US military sites. Now you ask yourself, okay, Iran, harami, but you Qatar, what are you doing with the US military base in your country? So these questions you got to ask. We are so amused with their lifestyles, right? Now coming to this particular aspect. Which aspect we're speaking about? The aspect of us always raising our gaze to the kuffar, to the Jews, living like them, wanting to be like them. Are we sincere in our cause? They jealous of us, but we emulating them. We look like them. Someone came to Mufti Ibrahim Salehji's Madrasa in Talimuddin, he's the principal. And they said, the visitor complained. He said, I walked in your madrasa, but nobody greeted me. None of your students greeted me. So Mufti Saab didn't say, okay, let's take this, what this person's saying, and let's put things into perspective. There's no sign to tell them that you're Muslim. So can you blame them? Can you blame them? Yes, they are wrong on certain things, but you, let's first start. Do you show any signs? And it happens. So we have to first be happy about our identity. This is where it starts. We have an identity crisis they speak to you about. Identity crisis. And then we become so dedicated to their causes. We need to step out of it. And we need to now identify as Muslims. Did we not just come out of these beautiful months and we're still in another? We remain meaning the months of Hajj. And now we still remain in this revered month of Muharram. And what is Muharram? Minha Arba'atun Hurum. Allah Azza wa Jal classifies it as one of the sacred months. Which are the 4 months? You know, it's dedicated, it is mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari. Thalathum mutawaliya, 3 come consecutively, and one of them is Muharram, right? So you know this. But the aspect of this is, what were the highlights? This identity of Sayyiduna Ibrahim alayhi salam, idh qala lahu rabbuhu aslim, when his Rabb, his sustainer, said to him, Ibrahim alayhi salam, what did he say? Allah said to him, submit. He said, Aslamtu li Rabbil Alameen. I submit to the sustainer of the universe. Now submission head to toe, inward, outward, both. I have to fix myself. Maybe I have the identity as a Muslim, but how many things inside we have to critically fix? And we have to focus. And I've seen this. There's two ends. Unfortunately, we have to say this. There's two ends to it. One is, we've got the dress of a Muslim, but you don't have the character of the Muslim. Or the other is you don't have the dress of the Muslim, but you've got the character of a Muslim. You've seen this over and over again. So let's come together and say, let's share. See, you good in this, I'm good in this. Let's take your good and let's leave my bad. Let's take your good, you are good in character. Let me see how I can imbibe those beautiful traits within me. And you are not dressing like a Muslim, now start with the dress of a Muslim. Let's embrace one another on this level. But when it comes to beliefs, we can't do that. You cannot say, okay, you Kuffar Shia want to say, okay, see, we both have one enemy, Israel. So we say, you want to attack them, you attack them. But we're going to speak against both of you. And you do them damage, you do them damage. Alhamdulillah. Because this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in Surah Al-An'am, verse 129. وَكَذَلِكَ نُوَلِّي بَعْدَ الظَّالِمِينَ بَعْضًا بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. And in this manner, in the like manner, we place certain oppressors over others, بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ, because of what they've earned, what they have sent forth. So one enemy over the next. This is what you see. Now you come to this and you see they've got that beliefs and they will tell you 10th of Muharram, this, that, the other. But we will say to you, lakum dinukum, for you is your deen. Lakum dinukum waliya deen, and for me is my deen. We can't come together on these aspects. Beliefs, we can't come together. You have to come to the truth. Often we're promoting the truth, but sometimes it's so much of focus on our organizational logo. We've turned 50 years, we've turned 100 years, we've this, we that, we that. Are we promoting deen or are we promoting our organizations? That is why personally we come on Markaz Sahaba, but now must we become obsessed with it and everything? No, Markaz Sahaba is the 100% haq and this and no, they give us the platform, alhamdulillah, to speak the truth. It is, yes. So, alhamdulillah, but do we become now obsessed? This is the problem which creates asabiyya. Asabiyya is that one. We become obsessed with our lineage. We become obsessed with our organizations. We become obsessed with our circles. Then you're using the haq. You are using the deen to promote. To promote what? Your organization. Where is the opposite supposed to occur? Where you're supposed to use your organization to promote the truth. But that's what it's become. Competition amongst organizations. Sahaba radiallahu anhum didn't need an organizational logo to compete, which Allah Azza wa Jal speaks of in Surah Al-Mutaffifin. وَفِي ذَلِكَ فَلْيَتَنَافَسِ الْمُتَنَافِسُونَ. It is in this that the competitors compete for. So they didn't need that. The poor were competing with the rich. The rich were competing not for material, not for military, not for who can hold the best ties with the US, who can do this, who, no. The objective was Akhirah, the objective was Jannah, the objective was who can become successful, and you're going to be successful, I'm going to be successful, but let's compete, let's race in this field, which is filled with all these fruits and vegetables. You know, when we were younger, they opened this Shell garage. They're in Marlboro. I recall this incident when they just opened it. So they have one there and one across, right? So they have the shop select, Shell garage shop where they sell all the drinks and the rest. So it's called select. When they just opened, they had this competition for those who recall. You had to enter it and everything. If you were selected, then you are granted a trolley and the other person also is granted a trolley. You are given a limited amount of time. Whoever takes more than the other in terms of value. And I think there were certain rules. I can't remember the rules exactly. But whoever takes the most, they take their trolley home. They take the trolley home. That's for them. And whoever doesn't, they lose. So what was the race all about? Things that you like. Because now you're going to choose things that you like. And there to be some rules now, because if you're going to take a Lindt chocolate and you just take all of it, of course it's going to increase that amount. So perhaps there could be a rule like one item or something of the sort. There's a limited amount or you can take. Otherwise, then it's easy. You just go for the most expensive item and you take 10 of those and you beat the opponent. So there must have been some rules. I can't remember the details of this. But nonetheless, what was the race? The race was on. And they gave you. And we all were standing outside and you had to watch this. And they racing with one another. Forget that. That's dunyawi aspects. It's limited. Now it's become history. When we speak of Jannah, there's no history. There's no history. Jannah is eternal. It's forever. And to come to Jannah, you've got to do good actions. Inna al-abrar lafi na'im. Surely the righteous, they will be in ever bliss. Continuous bliss. Ala al-ara'iki yanzurun. They will be reclining, watching. Watching scenes, watching different. Pleasing scenes, you know, they say, and that's what they try to do for you. You've got your grandstands, and they've got that one portion where they always sit in all these matches, and the VIP class tickets, they sit there. Important people, they sit there, and they're watching from there, and they've got the best view, and they this, that. Let them enjoy their titles, because for them it is in this worldly life. For us, it's in the year after, O Ummah. Today, you will see how many Muslimin will be bombed all over the world. But for them in Akhirah, it will be that specific day when the Muslimin will be seeing, MashaAllah. You had 9 children, Dr. Ala al-Najjar, and they committed themselves to the Akhirah. Here is, look at their stations, positions that they enjoyed today under that shade, which they were on that day, which there will be no shade except the shade of Allah. Now they are sitting on those grandstands. Now you will be happy. But you see, insan, we are too hasty. We want things to happen immediately. Press of a button. Give us this, give us that. Immediate reaction. But when it comes to Akhirah, you need patience. You need a lot of patience. You need a lot of sabr. That is why Allah Azza wa Jal mentions to you verse 155, Surah Al-Baqarah. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to those who exercise tolerance, patience, who are forbearant. Patience doesn't do justice to the translation of sabirin. You need to add forbearance. You need to add tolerance. You need to add so many other words to it. Otherwise, patience is just patience, patience. Right? And we, Muslimin, sometimes we go to the other end. We look at the non-Muslims. You'll see amongst our Africans, they name their children, you'll see patience for female, patience. In school, they were patience and all of these people, patience. So, but we Muslims also have this. Sabira. Sabira is a woman who's patient. Patience. Sabir. We say sabir. Sabir. We can't even pronounce it. It's sabir. Like this, you get adil. Adil is one who's just. So you get justice. Like this, you get so many names. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, we need to come back to this, being confident of our identity. Coming to this is reprimanding our nafs. which Allama Busairi rahimullah is stressing so much about in this particular chapter. In this particular stanza, he says, أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرَ لَكِنْ مَعْتَمَرْتُ بِهِ وَاسْتَقَمْتُ فَمَا قَوْلِ لَكَ اسْتَقِمْ. I command you to do good, but I do not command myself to do the same. This is the tragedy. Last week when we spoke, we mentioned to you about the verse where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, لِمَ تَقُولُونَ مَا لَا تَفْعَلُونَ. Why do you instruct that which you do not do? And we mentioned to you there, if you recall or if you've missed it, we'll just do a one sentence revision here. What does that mean? It means, doesn't mean that you cannot now propagate the truth. Doesn't mean that. It means you take on responsibilities that you know you are incapable of doing. It also means that you have an intention not to do something and yet you are still instructing it. Go and see Mufti Shafi Saab Rahimullah's Tafsir Ma'riful Quran under that particular verse. Then you come here and you see this beautiful narration that is here, and we'll share it with you here. Anas radiallahu anhu is the narrator. It's mentioned in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat in Tabarani. Right? The hadith is there. If you are not doing an action, can you instruct others to do it? This is the question. If you are engaging in a munkar, can you stop others from doing that munkar? For example, a person is a smoker and you tell another person, do not smoke. So the person says, but you smoking. You go to the doctor. The doctor says, hey, Coke is bad for you, man. How can you drink something like Coke? Do you know how many cups of sugar, 15, 16 cups, and you drinking this 2-liter bottle, walking around with it? Do you know what it's doing to your health? Right. But then you invite the doctor, you go to another place and you see the same doctor drinking that Coke. But you say, doctor, doc, you said this to us the other day, don't drink Coke, but you are drinking Coke. So where's the balance? So they will say, don't do as I do as I tell you to do. You know the saying, don't do as I do as I tell you to do. See, I know the harms of Coke. I love you and I want you to stay away from my bad habit. Understand, this is how it is. Sometimes you love your children and you engage in a bad act, but you tell them, see, I know the harms and I've seen the harms of this and I don't want you to engage in this as well. So there's a narration in Al-Mu'jam Al-Awsat. It's mentioned in Tabarani. Anas radiallahu anhu is the narrator. قال, he says, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We said, O Nabi of Allah, O Messenger of Allah, لَا نَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَتَّى نَعْمَلَ بِهِ كُلِّهِ وَلَا نَنْهَى عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ حَتَّى نَجْتَنِبَهُ كُلَّهُ. He says that we do not instruct good, but we do not instruct good. لَا نَأْمُرُ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَتَّى نَعْمَلَ بِهِ كُلِّهِ. We do not instruct good until we ourselves are fully engaged in that good that we are doing. And we do not forbid the evil until we ourselves remain aloof from that particular evil in totality. فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ Say صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَوْ أُمَّهُ. Recite صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Make these moments memorable. Memorable doesn't mean take a photograph, take a selfie, record this moment, listen to it later. That's not the memory. The memories of this will be in Akhirah, where we're drawing your attention to. In Akhirah, you will be sitting and you'll sit back and thinking, hey, if only I read Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam one more time. If I only said Subhanallah one more time. If I only said Alhamdulillah one more time. If I only said Allahu Akbar one more time. And this is our relationship that we enjoy. Cut us, put aside all your organizational statuses and the rest. Let's see how you can encourage me. Let's see how I can encourage you towards this beautiful scene of Akhirah. Now, so you say Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, remember Anas radiallahu anhu said, we do not instruct good until we fully engaged, engrossed in that good which we are instructing. And we do not forbid the evil until we totally are totally aloof from that evil which we are forbidding. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's answer, فَقَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ بَلْ مُرُوا بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَعْمَلُوا بِهِ كُلِّهِ وَانْهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَجْتَنِبُوهُ كُلَّهِ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, instruct good even though you are not doing it fully. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, instruct good even though you are not fully engaged, activated in doing that particular good. وَانْهَوْا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and refrain or forbid the evil even though you are not restraining or you are not staying away from it completely. This is that. Because what's the rule? أَمَرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and وَنَهِي عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ كَلِيَا خُدْ عَمَلْ كَرْنَا شَرْطِ كَمَالِ هَي. This is the point of the heights of it. You should aspire to be that, and it will have an impact on what you are promoting. Because let's face it, a doctor who's telling you don't drink coke, and he's also refraining, so now it adds to this. Okay, he's saying this. Yeah, I recall the doctor, I was totally not so convinced about this vaccines being harmed and all of this until there was a particular doctor who told me that it is good what you are doing and I don't vaccinate my children. Now, once it came from his mouth, purse. What Mulana A.S. and everybody has been saying for so long, okay, at least one doctor, at least two, and there were so many. Let's see how many have come out now speaking against it. So when they are saying it adds value because they use the opposite. They say that we should leave these issues for those who are knowledgeable with it. So they are knowledgeable in it. And they are giving you and they are telling you that this is harmful for you. So it is that you will say this is a'la darja. This is the heights of it. So, Ya Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, Rahimul Hafidahullah, he says, Yani a'la darja to ye hai ke aadmi jo kahe khud us par amal kare. The person who is instructing, the person who is forbidding, he is making amal either on the good that he is instructing or he is staying, refraining from the evil that he is prohibiting. Tab ye baat logo par athar karti hai. Then it will have an effect on the people that you are speaking to. Lekin agar koi aadmi khud achhe aamal nahi karta, tab bhi amar bil ma'roof aur nahi anil munkar ko tark na kare. However, if a person himself, he is not practicing, should he leave Amr bil Ma'ruf? Should he leave Nahya anil Munkar? Then, Mufti Ridaul Haqsab writes, that then too he should not stop instructing good and he should carry on prohibiting evil. Even though he is not practicing upon the good he is instructing and even though he is engaging in the evil that he is prohibiting. Where's the hadith? Where's the proof of it? We gave it to you, Al-Mu'jam al-Awsat li-Tabrani. If you want to see it, the words of Mufti Ridaul Haqsab, it's here. Al-Burdatul Fardah, Sharhu Qasidatil Burda. I'm looking at it now. The Urdu version, page 358. Exactly where I'm looking, page 358. Now, it's under this particular stanzas which we are busy with. So there's this hadith. Number two, there's another dalil as well. Aqli waja ye hai ke khud guna se bachna ya nek kaam karna ek wajib kaam hai. To stay away from evil, to do good, this is a compulsory act, right? That's the aqli dalil. Magar amar bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar dusra awajib hai. So this is magar amar bil ma'roof wa nahi anil munkar shart sharait ke saath dusra wajib hai. It's another wajib action. To ek wajib ke fot hone se dusre ko na chora jaye. So practicing on the one wajib, but you're leaving out the other, it is fine. It's fine. Is it the best? No, it's not the best. You can't say it's the best. But it's fine. And if you look at another dalil, which we've mentioned to you, this is not mentioned there, but for us to understand in our current day-to-day life, the doctor example settles well. It resonates. You go to the doctor, you said, but yesterday you were telling me not to drink Coke. So he says, no, you do as I tell you, and you don't do as I do. Don't do as I do, do as I tell you. My mother taught me this. So, but then you say, but isn't it unhealthy? He says, I know it's unhealthy, but I'm telling you it's unhealthy for you because I can't stop it. That is why I'm telling you. That is why you find many people go to these rehabs. And the person is still taking small doses of whatever he needs to take just to keep him sane, because that's how they wean them off. So when he takes that small dose, and he's getting off it, now he will give a talk to the youth and tell them that, you know what, I did this, my life got so messed up here, there, and the other. So in practice, you will say that this person also is not allowed to speak because he's practicing on it. He's doing the evil and he's prohibiting you in the same breath. Doesn't make sense. So this is why this all comes in. It is two wajibs, right? Magar amar bil ma'ruf. So we say to stay away from evil is one wajib. And together in that one wajib, amar bil ma'ruf. So that's one. And the other wajib is to stop evil and to promote good. That's another wajib. So if you leave out one wajib, does it mean that the other wajib won't be accepted? No, it will be accepted. But we said to you, if you want it to have an effect, now that drug addict, he comes out of that life of addiction, and now he tells you the evils of drugs, now it will settle better, won't it? It will settle better. So there's a big major difference. And then he gives in this proof. Allama Busayri rahimullah brings in this particular proof and he compares it to that woman who is barren, which we spoke about last week. لَقَدْ نَسِبْتُ بِهِ نَسْلًا لِذِي أُقُمِي. For verily I've attributed through this offspring from a barren woman. You are saying something, but you're not practicing. So this means I'm barren of good deeds and I'm instructing you. So a woman who's barren cannot have children. So me to tell you, it's like this, it's same. In this particular stanza here today, أَمَرْتُكَ الْخَيْرَ لَكِنْ مَأْتَمَرْتُ بِهِ. I command you to do good, but I do not command myself to do good. So what's the whole thing here? Remember, if you see this here, khair. So we gave you the answer. Excellent hadith comes in. Tabrani. Then you come in here. And you see, I'm telling you to do good. So it's just now strengthening the previous istighfar which Allama Busayri rahimullah engaged in. Now he's addressing himself. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if you see in the books of hadith, he had also instructed people with what he loved for himself. This is it. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam had told Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, this is well-wishing advice. Inni uhibbu laka ma uhibbu li nafsi. I love for you what I love for myself. La ta'maranna ala thnain. Do not settle. Do not judge. Judge here doesn't mean judge. Let's use another word. Do not instruct. Do not become a mediator between two people. La ta'maranna ala thnain. Do not instruct between two people. This here is Hazrat Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu was given this nasiha by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You could go into the details and see, because remember, when it comes to this position, leadership, and someone as great as Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, but Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam is saying, see, when it comes to two people, don't mediate, do not instruct, stay away from this. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam knew his strengths. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wasallam, see, sometimes you ask me with money, all of this, don't ask me to, it becomes such a mission about keeping, being, so for me to start now a collection drive, or when I know well my weakness of collecting money and, you know, being, so why do I need to get into that which I cannot manage? Hand it over. We're giving you an example. Hand it over to those who are more specific, who are more trustable on this issue here. Trustable meaning doesn't only mean that a person has, sometimes a person is a well-wisher. He is truthful, but because he makes innocent mistakes so much, he's putting himself into destruction. Understand this well. Sometimes a person is a well-wisher. He's truthful. But because he's unable to manage himself well, to manage his funds well, to manage certain things well, he puts himself into destruction. Manage that which you can manage. So we can only, like wives also, people want and has this fancy dreams, three wives, four wives, and then speak to them afterwards, right? You have to have that strength, mental power, and most important is the taqwa. If you don't have taqwa, you don't have any of that. Then if you don't have taqwa, you can't even do it. وَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا تَعْدِلُوا فَوَاحِدًا. If you fear that you won't do justice, then one wife. And still you can't do justice, then slaves. But don't see for that, because now you don't get slaves. Because there's no jihad taking place. So anyway, this year, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَأْمُرُكُمْ أَن تُؤَدُّ الْأَمَانَاتِ إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهَا. أَمَرَ يَأْمُرُ. This word, we're scrutinizing it now. You'll find it in this verse, Surah An-Nisa, verse 58. Amanat. Allah Azza wa Jal instructs you that you give the amanat. Amanat, not this amana investments, it's not that. Amanat, this year is referring to someone gave you something to keep as a trust. You have to return it back to them. This is Islam. Now, we gave you the hadith. Hadith was in Muslim about Sayyiduna Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu. A person who will be under the shade. Remember we spoke about those VIPs who will be under the shade on that day when there will be no shade except the shade of Allah. One of them will be Al-Imam Al-Adil. A just leader. A just leader. See, we don't know what's the real issues. Sometimes certain things come about, right? Afterwards, you come to know the true reality. But as it stands now, and I don't speak for the future, I don't speak for whatever else. Just look at this year. When you go to Burkina Faso, right? Ibrahim Traore, Captain Ibrahim Traore. In 2022, seized power, and he's generated $18 billion. $18 billion. Why? You've heard his speech, we've played it here. In fact, Mulana Musa Akudi Hafidhullah sent us that, and we played it on air. How he broke to pieces the West and all their systems in place that they use, and all their media mouthpieces. He tore them to pieces. In their own language, in just the eloquent terms that they use as well. That was what made it remarkable. Someone from Africa speaking like this. So it really tore them to pieces. But you see, when you speak to these people who are involved in mining and that, you say, for which organization? Who is running it? So they will have so many other countries involved in the gold that's in our country. Because why? We haven't learned how to extract the gold. So due to this jahalat, others have seen, hey, it's looking pretty good here. And the land is fertile. We just have to dig and dig and dig. Then you come and you see the miners that have died because it was all done undercover. Where is all our natural resources going? Others have become interested, and we'll conclude with this. Others have become interested in the gold that we have, because we haven't learned how to discover it. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alamin.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.